This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this lovely total request Thursday. Still trying to track down Mike Golic Jr. from DraftKings. Preview tonight's game with him. As you heard, Nolan McGraw. You can hear the Vikings and Rams on 105.7 The Fan. We'll do our picks next segment. Just tuning into the show, and you missed yesterday's injury report for the Ravens. Rasheen Ali did not practice. Redshirt year, especially if Keaton Mitchell's coming back.
Yeah, even Collier can go back to the practice squad, too.
Jalen Armour Davis, he was back, limited with a hamstring, designated to return from the IR.
They may need him if Humphrey's going to be down, and and Wiggins is kind of banged up, too.
Yeah, and T.J. Tampa didn't practice yesterday.
Yeah, so, all hands on deck.
Zay Flowers dealing with an ankle. Did not practice. Seemed to be in a level of discomfort Monday night. He was there, but you could see, especially in the first quarter, Vinny, it looked like he wasn't. He got tackled on one. He only had one reception.
Yeah.
But he was on the sidelines, and he was on the bench, and it just looked like he was laboring a little.
Bob, when I first saw it, I thought he got the wind knocked out. Because he comes over to the side and then lays on his back and kind of brings his knees up to it. I said, damn, must have got the wind knocked out of him. But, I guess it's an ankle. And, with the way that he plays, Bob, with the quickness and change of direction, he got to have his ankles feeling good because he breaks ankles.
Malik Harrison was limited with a groin. Marlon Humphrey, who you just mentioned, did not practice with a knee. Travis Jones with an ankle. We were talking to Cordell Woodland a couple hours ago. If it's Flowers, Humphrey, and Travis not playing, and we're not saying they're not, we still have a couple of days. They'll be back at practice, in 20 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. If not, 1 o'clock, right, or 1:30?
Yep.
Soon. If those three don't go, or even two of those three, Ravens going to have to improvise and adapt a little bit.
Well, is Washington back, Bob?
He was limited.
Yeah, well, if they can get Broderick back and Travis be down, they need the big bodies is what they need in there. So, especially like Travis is in this game, especially, because the guards and the centers are not that. The O-line is struggling. So this would be a game where you'd want to play.
Now, Nate Wiggins didn't practice yesterday either. So
shoulder? Is it shoulder?
Shoulder, yeah. But Mallett, he's back. Limited, but back, it seems. And we mentioned T.J. Tampa dealing with some stuff. So there is some interesting names on this Ravens injury report. And we talked about the Browns a few segments ago. Three of their five offensive linemen didn't practice yesterday. And their offensive line's not that great to begin with.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the thing about it is, Bob, because they played Monday night, they just walked through today. So I'm guessing that those designations were, if they would have practiced, they wouldn't have been able to practice. So today will be their first practice, out on the field, probably practice that they're going at full speed.
Now,
for the game.
If you're looking to dress like your Ravens on Sunday, they're wearing the purple pants and the white jerseys.
Purple pants.
Game day threads. This is from the Ravens themselves. So if you like purple pants, maybe we'll have the purple pants breaking out the puffy pants against Cleveland. Hammer time on Sunday at 1 o'clock. A couple of stats. We'll do the stat breakdown in totality here tomorrow with Vinny. Cleveland, have the 32nd ranked offense against the 23rd ranked total defense, but the Ravens' pass defense is ranked number 32. They've got a backup quarterback going in Jameis Winston, and as we just said, the Ravens dealing with some banged up dudes there in the secondary. But here to talk about that and more from DraftKings, it's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Welcome back to the show. I haven't talked to him in a while. He is Mike Golic Jr. Mike, good afternoon. What is happening?
Not too much. I appreciate you having me. How's everything going?
Everything's going all right, Mike. Before we get to the Ravens, his big favorites taking on the Cleveland Browns on Sunday there. Got a game tonight. It's Minnesota. They're going to L.A. They're laying three against the Rams. Nacua could be ready to rock and roll. Cooper Kupp's not even on the injury report now, it looks like. But you've got that NFC West where Seattle's the only team right now above 500. If the Rams get to as close to full health as they can be, where do they fit into that whole mix in that Western Division right now?
I think they've certainly got as good a place as any in what's a very flawed NFC West, right? Where there's the Seattle Seahawks, you mentioned, had that distinction, but even with them, at times the offense has looked a bit disjointed as they break in, you know, a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator, and Ryan Grubb, who came from the college level. And so I think for the Rams, you know, I'm very curious to see tonight, hey, Cooper Kupp, amidst all these trade rumors, are they going to put him out there if this is a guy they were seriously considering fielding offers for? Puka Nacua is not even off the injured list yet, but still, you know, trending is questionable now. We haven't heard much about him in recent weeks. And so I think all of these things swirling around there, but if you were to assume the best and say, hey, you get both of those guys back, then, you know, all of a sudden now you're talking about a team that's already second in rushing success rate in the NFL. Kyron Williams has been that steady heartbeat on an offense that's been searching for playmakers elsewhere. And then defensively, they started to see some improvement in recent weeks with some of the guys on the back end starting to swap out for guys like Trey White, who just were too injured, I think, to go and be as productive as they wanted from veteran players. And so now some of these younger guys starting to step in could all of a sudden make them interesting down the stretch, sort of the same way they came together last year.
Now, let's look a little bit at the AFC North, Mike, since we're, you know, here in Baltimore. Now, how do you like the Cincy-Philly game?
I think Philadelphia is going to have a real hard time stopping that receiver tandem for Cincinnati. Say what you want about the way that Lou Anarumo's defense on that side has held up, especially against the run so far, which is your big worry after Saquon Barkley comes off a career day against his old team last weekend. But on the other side of the football, whether it's been Quinyon Mitchell or Darius Slay, there just hasn't been much resistance on the back end of this Eagles defense. And now, going into a year where, after a little bit of a bumpy start the way we're kind of used to with this Cincinnati team, Joe Burrow and that connection with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins seems as potent as ever. And so it's sort of like in basketball when you get a team that makes a lot of threes going up against a team that's really good in the paint. I tend to go threes over twos and say that big playability of that Cincinnati offense going to be a little bit too much for the Eagles to keep up with, even if they've got an edge in the trenches.
How about Monday night with the Steelers? You like Russell Wilson at quarterback in the Steelers against the Giants?
So I like what Russell Wilson brought to the offense. We know they made that change with developing that downfield passing in mind, and all he does is set a Pittsburgh Steelers franchise record in passing yards in someone's first appearance in a Steelers uniform, and you unlock George Pickens a little bit. Most importantly, I think the run game didn't suffer. Najee Harris in that backfield still were able to go out there despite not having that run threat at quarterback you had with Justin Fields. And so I do like them against the Giants team that I think is just a little bit too far down the road now. Daniel Jones getting benched last week, that clearly not going very well, even if Malik Nabers is back for this team. Defensively, their front four is really the only place that they've got a chance in this one. Dexter Lawrence is such a mismatch on the interior, and Pittsburgh's already pretty far down the depth chart along the interior of that offensive line. So if you can get pressure up the middle, Brian Burns, who they brought over, has been active on the edge as well. You could disrupt some of this, but I just think, unfortunately, the Giants are at a point of no return right now with a Steelers team that seems to have, once again, Mike Tomlin pushed all the right buttons for this squad in the face of plenty of public criticism.
Now, Mike, you're an Ohio guy, right? Now, the Browns, aren't you a Cleveland guy? The Brownies, what's Browns-Ravens? What do you think there?
I think the Ravens are operating at an incredibly high level right now, going up against a wounded animal in the Browns team. And that variance is the one thing the Browns sort of have on their side right now, right? You lose Deshaun Watson for the year for injury, and a guy who already wasn't producing at a high level on an offense that, hey, you know, Nick Chubb being back, certainly a lift with the way that he wants to approach this. But the offensive line hasn't been great. The lack of continuity has hurt the defense. The one area that you can get over on Baltimore is attacking that back end. They just have not been able to stop big plays all year. And lo and behold, Jameis Winston getting the start. Say what you want about him in terms of consistency, in terms of turning the football over. The guy's no stranger to taking a shot downfield. Now, no Amari Cooper there certainly hurts that some, but he is a guy who is veteran in this league. He's been around the block before. And we saw last year the way Kevin Stefanski's offense got a lift from a more, I'd say, dependable veteran arm at this point in their careers, Joe Flacco last year and Jameis Winston this year. So if they can go bombs away and hit some big plays on this Ravens defense, they might have a chance. But I think Baltimore, too much overwhelming, especially when you get as many bites as the apple, they will, I think, against this Browns offense, still trying to find an identity.
Mike Golic Jr., DraftKings, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Mike, we know you're a busy guy. Last thing for you, Bears down the road against Washington. The Commanders, doesn't look like Jaden Daniels is going to play in this one. But Marcus Mariota was running around last week like it was Washington State, Oregon, 10 years ago. What kind of fighting chance do the Commanders have against that Bears defense, and also a Caleb Williams who seems to be figuring out this NFL thing all of a sudden?
Yeah, you know, I think Washington defensively is a little bit of my worry there. They played better as of late, going back a couple of games when you saw that linebacker group led by Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu really start to harass opposing quarterbacks and get after them. But I think on the other side, the offense for Washington is really fascinating. Jaden Daniels no doubt deserves a ton of credit for how this has gone, but this is a primarily rushing-based offense, and it's not just, oh, mobile quarterbacks gone out and made things happen. They're one of the most diverse run schemes in the NFL. They throw a lot at opposing defenses. And, oh, by the way, that offensive line has played really well. They're, I believe, third in the NFL in yards before contact per rush, which, if anyone's unfamiliar, yards before contact, those are usually the yards that belong to the offensive line paving the way. The mobile quarterback helps. Marcus Mariota can certainly move, not quite as fleet of foot, but I think he does absolutely give them a chance to stay competitive in this game. We saw last week that was a culture win for Washington, having Mariota come in and be able to put them down firmly against that Panthers team. I think you keep them in the mix against Chicago as well.
Mike Golic Jr., tell us about DraftKings and what you're doing there with them.
Yeah, me and Dad got the show Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. It's Gojo and Golic. It's wherever you get your podcast, on the DraftKings YouTube channel, Samsung TV Plus, Roku, Zumo Play, all those streaming services. You can check out the DraftKings network on there, and we'll be there to shepherd you guys through the sports world every Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, the best we can. We're, you know, we're hopefully, I got to keep Dad in line every now and then, so there might be a little butting of heads that goes on in there. He putzes around and has to go get his coffee, but at the end of the day, we have a pretty good time.
Mike Golic Jr., appreciate your time as always. Enjoy week 8.
Thanks, Mike.
Absolutely. You too. Thank you, guys.
Mike Golic Jr., everyone. We'll come back to our picks for tonight's game, get an updated standings look as we head into Week 8 NFL, Week 9 college football. Then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, talk real and fantasy football with him, and also preview the World Series, which starts out in L.A. tomorrow night, Dodgers and Yankees. Before we do our picks, as we get into it, and tomorrow we got a full slate of games, talk about college and pro. Let's give our listeners an updated standings report after Monday's. I guess we were both, all of us were 1-1 in that one, right?
Right, yeah. So updated standings, Bob still in the lead at 90-52. Vinny just 3 games back, 87-55. And I'm 9 games back, 81-61.
All right, Minnesota's at L.A. Cooper Kupp's going to play. Puka Nacua is questionable for tonight's game. Williams is a stud. They're at home. They're getting 3. Vikings coming off that loss at home to Detroit. Their first L of the season. Vikings are dropping a 3-pointer on the road. Vinny, who do you have in Thursday night football?
Yeah, I mean, that's a long flight from Minnesota. Short week. I'm going to take the home team. I'm going to take the Rams.
Yeah, I've been flip-flopping back and forth on this one. I was telling Bob earlier that had this been a Sunday game, I think I have no hesitation picking the Vikings. But yep, just something weird about that. You're coming off your first loss after being undefeated. It's just, it smells fishy to me. I'll go with the Rams.
Yeah, it's making unanimous. I'm taking the Rams, too. Now, tomorrow, we're probably talking about Minnesota winning by 14 points. But let's go L.A. They're well-coached. They have a veteran quarterback, stud running back. And if the receivers, even, well, Kupp's back, he and Tutu Atwell can create some interesting things for them in the pass game. Can their defense slow down Aaron Jones and Stafford, and or not Stafford, Darnold and Addison, and obviously Justin Jefferson there?
I just think that's a tough, they left Wednesday. You know, and what do you got? A five-hour flight out there? And, you know, you get to practice Monday, Tuesday, walk through every day. So you can't change a lot. And they know each other pretty well because O'Connell and McVay were together. So, yeah, I think it's going to be kind of interesting.
Other games week 8 in the NFL. Ravens, 8-point favorites against Cleveland. Spread keeps going down. Was 11. Then went down to 9.5, then 8.5. Sitting at 8 points here. Maybe those injuries to the secondary are noticeable in regards to the odds makers at ESPN Bet.
Well, you know what's funny is this, Bob. Even national people now, everybody's talking about the Ravens secondary and the problems they've got in the back end and 34 big plays they've given up. 34 plays over 20 yards. That's unheard of.
It's crazy. Eagles at the Bengals, Cincinnati -2.5. Titans at Detroit, Lions -11. Cardinals at the Dolphins. Looks like Tua's going to go. They're 3.5-point favorites. Miami is. You know, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are hello.
Yeah, finally.
Jets at Patriots. New York's -7 in New England. Atlanta's at Tampa. No Godwin, no Mike Evans. Atlanta, favorite on the road against the Buccaneers.
I can definitely see that. There, yeah.
2.5, by the way, in favor of Cousins and his friends. Green Bay's at Jacksonville. Green Bay -3.5. Trap game. I see trap game in this one. Going to be hot. Jacksonville's coming off of what? Back-to-back weeks in London. I'm not saying they got any home cooking there, but I don't know. Something weird about this game as I see it. Indy's at Houston. Texans -5. First place on the line, by the way, in the division there. New Orleans, yikes. How about old Kamara getting a contract extension? When there was a lot of talk, he might get dealt or he requested a trade.
Well, he's been bitching for a new contract.
They're at the Chargers -7. Buffalo at Seattle, interesting game here. Bills -3. Carolina's at Denver. Broncos -10. Kansas City's at the Raiders. Chiefs -9.5. Bears are 3-point favorites at the Commanders. Sunday night, Dallas at San Francisco, 49ers -4. And then Monday Night Football, Giants at Pittsburgh, Steelers -6.
And the Niners, they don't have, I mean, who's playing receiver for them? Samuel just got out of the hospital with pneumonia.
Yep.
Ayuk's out.
Jennings missed last week.
Yeah, they got Kittle, and Pearsall's been practicing now.
Right.
So, I don't know.
But that's your slate of games for week 8. We'll do our picks tomorrow. Let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057. Get your votes in Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up in about 20 minutes. Go to Florida. It's Chuck. Chuck, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Fellas, good afternoon. I know we all know that the Ravens have a major problem on defense. And halfway through the first game of the season against Kansas City, I Facebooked all my friends and said, this Zach Orr experiment will never last. What are the chances by week we make a switch and bring Wink back into the fold to straighten us out? Thanks.
Little Wink Martindale reunion there.
I don't see it.
Didn't they leave under split, I should say, under not the best of terms? Am I right with that one?
Harbs and Wink?
Yeah,
I don't think it was great. I don't think it was great. But I don't see them replacing Zach Orr. I mean, that's why Dean Pease is here.
Because, what was it, 21, they didn't make the playoffs, right? Well, Lamar got hurt. And we kept saying, well, something's going to change here with the either a coordinator. We all thought G-Row was out the door.
Yes.
And it was Wink.
Yes.
Which floored us all. Am I right about that, Nolan McGraw?
You are correct. And just looking here, the defensive rankings from that 2021 season, Wink's last year, they ranked 19th in points, 25th in yards. Not his best season, but if you remember,
a lot of hurt guys
decimated
on the secondary.
Yeah, boy, that secondary had I think Wink even made the comment or something that guys are playing back there that shouldn't be playing back there. You know, we're on to our fifth and sixth option in some cases.
5880-105. So answer the question: no,
right? No.
Wink coming back?
No,
not going to happen. like Flacco starting Sunday against Cleveland or for Cleveland. Winks, not going to happen.
Wink's going to have his work cut out for him when they play Indiana.
That's right. He's got his own problem out there with the Wolverines. We'll come back, preview the World Series, and talk real and fantasy football with Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. And then a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. It's Total Request Thursday, which reveals our featured artist Friday performer later on in the hour. On the other side of the glass, Thursday night football. Hear it on the Fan. Vikings taking on the Rams. Got the World Series starts tomorrow night and everything else in between. Joining us now to talk about all things relating to the World Series and the NFL, real and fantasy football, from Fox Sports Radio, from Swallendome.com, from I Want Your Flex is the podcast, and many other media outlets. He's the one and only Mike Harmon. Mike, what is up?
Guy standing on the corner yelling, "The end is near." Don't forget that one. What's going on, fellas?
What's happening? And we'll start with the World Series, which starts out there with the beautiful people. And I'm sure all sorts of celebrities will be in Chavez Ravine Dodger Stadium for the first matchup between the Yankees and Dodgers since 1981. We were talking about this earlier, Mike. Five MVPs are going to be in this World Series. Judge, Stanton, Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, Judge, and Ohtani probably adding that hardware in the offseason. But Dodgers are bullpenning. The Yankees might get Nestor Cortez back to add to the rotation, at the very least add depth to their bullpen. So how do you view this matchup? Yeah, it's a marquee matchup. Historic teams. Ratings should be well, I would assume. So who's going to win this thing? I hate the Yankees. I hope they lose in three games. That's how much I hate them. They stop it after three. It's so bad. But I'm kind of leaning in their direction. What does Mike Harmon think right now?
You get the Duke throw the damn towel after three games. I like that.
You're right.
Look, the lineup top to bottom for the Dodgers, you're starting to see the back end of the order clicking a little bit more here after some rough stretches. Very, very odd season for the Dodgers. Even though they win 98 games, it wasn't exactly a storybook outside of the Ohtani season. So kind of odd. But that's coming together now. Dave Roberts, at least through the first couple of rounds, everything he touched turned to gold. And so I'll look to the pitching. I don't think there's a decided advantage with the Yankees. So I'm gonna take the Dodgers. It's not a homer thing because really in the end I got no dog in the fight. But it's the idea that, you know, guys like Will Smith and some of the, you know, Enrique Hernandez. Those are going to be the guys that end up being the difference makers in this one.
Yeah, one of our colleagues here on the Fan, Jim Hunter, longtime voice of the Orioles, said Will Smith is going to be the guy to watch for the Dodgers in said World Series. And Kiki Hernandez, he just turns into Steve Garvey for some reason once the calendar flips to October. But, Mike, let's flip to the NFL. If the beautiful people aren't there enough as it is, you got a game tonight in L.A., or Inglewood anyway, SoFi Stadium. It's the Rams taking on the Vikings. Minnesota coming off their first loss. Daily fantasy, you get, what, five players, six players at a defense if you choose to do so. Looks like Cooper Kupp's definitely going to play. Puka Nacua is questionable, whatever that means. So if we're trying to make a little Thursday night dough, give us an idea of who could help fit within our salary cap and help us have a good weekend financially.
Well, we get Cooper Kupp right back into the mix. If he's going to play, there's two things going on. They're either fighting desperately to save their season, or they're showcasing him for a trade. One way or the other, he's going to see a high target count, so he's back in the top 10. The Nacua thing, very interesting as well, so we keep an eye on that. But obviously, Kyren Williams, one of the top plays for fantasy each and every week. He's a back-end top 10 guy, even against the Minnesota D, proficient in the red zone. As a running receiver, the touch count just high enough to get it done. Minnesota will start everybody. Like Stafford's a QB too. I would I be surprised if suddenly he was flinging it around and they find some kind of magic on a Thursday night? No, it's Thursday night football. Anything can happen, as we know. But the logic would dictate with some of the other matchups on the board that we send him bench. Sam Darnold, back end top 10 once again. He's got an opportunity here to put his name back in good graces, because folks were really trying to besmirch it after a narrow loss to the Packers. Like, he was a great, but And it's not like they got blown out, but we get them. We get the wide receivers back in. Running back position a little tougher. Aaron Jones, a bit banged up, but we'll get him in as a high-end RB2. And then the wide receivers, as you know, I mean, Jefferson definitely is an A-lister each and every time he takes to the field. There's nothing in the secondary going to stop it. And Addison's a WR3 or flex play, depending on what you need.
Hey, Mike, who are must-plays this weekend? I'm sure a lot of the Ravens' offensive guys are must-plays.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, where it was, you know, smoke them if you got them. I mean, one of the top wide receivers picked up on the waiver wire this week was there from your beloved Ravens. I mean, you know, we look at the big game capabilities that we're seeing from Lamar Jackson, now seeing the deep ball coming into play. It's a nice little addition, right? So Rashad Bateman was a guy that was picked up in a lot of leagues. He's still a WR3, I think, for the week. But the upside there, as you're starting to see the passing game take off a bit more, you know, Derrick Henry's top of the pops, as it were, going up against a Cleveland squad that is, how do we say, not good. So, you know, keep getting after it and should be working with short fields once again. So we do that. For the rest of the league, I mean, even with the turnovers that he's had, Jordan Love's got the Jacksonville secondary. Hey, let's fire him up. Jalen Hurts going up against Cincinnati. Caleb Williams against Washington. Must start. Very curious to see coming out of the bye week what that offense looks like. Once again, here's another opportunity. They haven't had a lot of big tests of late. That's the criticism of Caleb. It's like you can only play and dominate who's on the schedule. So let's look at that and see him do it again. Kyler Murray going up against Miami and the curiosity of, is Tua going to play? Because if, you know, Tua does, then maybe we get him back in as a back end one because, well, let's face it, you know, are you trusting Patrick Mahomes? Are you trusting Captain Kirk against Tampa? Because the defense came out fairly unscathed for the Buccaneers, even if the offense is dropping like flies. Running back position, Hall, Barkley, Henry lead the way. We talked about Kyron Williams, of course, and Jahmyr Gibbs is becoming one of those superstars and breakout performers. So we get him in. Former Ravens would-be J.K. Dobbins going up against New Orleans. They stink too, the Saints. Although the Chargers aren't much better. It's all Dicker the kicker. So figure out a way to put your kicker in a flex position if they've eliminated a kicker in your league because the guy's a superstar. Amon-Ra St. Brown against Tennessee. CeeDee Lamb going up against the beleaguered 49ers squad. That's the game that's really a great note. Malik Nabers, even if the Giants stink, that guy's got sticky hands, so that all works together quite well. Look, George Pickens, now that he's motivated once again, all it needed, he just needed to be embarrassed repeatedly by people showing his lack of effort. And then Russell Wilson, as they tried to really sell me on the moon ball. Did you love that sell job they did to tell me how great Russell Wilson was the other day? Good God, man.
Hey, Mike, how surprised are you after seven games that the NFC North is where it is?
I wouldn't say I'm shocked. I mean, because I think Green Bay,
right,
as long as Jordan Love was upright, they'd be fine. Detroit, we knew, were going to be good. I love the Minnesota roster, and that was our Sam Darnold up to the task, so that's fine. And then the Bears, you know, a bit of a wild card, but I thought they'd be good, and the schedule makers did them some favors, right? They had some advantageous matchups. They took care of business and took care of, you know, opportunities as they popped up, right? The Rams missing so many of their players. That's a game that you would have thought would have gone the other way, even as it was being played, but they take care of business there. So it's fun to watch division that's normally just been handed over to the Packers for 30 years is suddenly, it's not theirs. They have to go fight for it and that everybody's still in contention because, let's face it, across the NFL, and it's a thing we've talked about on this show a lot, guys, the NFL stinks right now. I mean, like, how many teams are good? Five? Seven?
There's more bad teams than good teams.
Say that again?
There's more bad teams than good teams, I think it's fair to say.
The separations happen quickly.
No, but that's just it, right? You've got, you know, your Ravens that we could argue maybe the best team going.
Ever.
The Chiefs are undefeated. There you go. The Chiefs are undefeated, but, I mean, is anybody – I mean, aesthetically, it's not a – yeah, you know, hey, let me go watch that for 3 hours. That's not must-see football. You talk about the NFC North, and then what? Who else really stands out? I mean, you got a couple of teams that have great records, but are they great teams? I don't know. The Bills look to be better. Josh Allen's taking care of the football. We'll see what the Amari Cooper thing does. The Texans are 5-2. I don't know how much you've watched the Texans. That doesn't look like a 5-2 team. They got flaws all over the place. And the Commanders have been fun, but you question whether it's for real. Rubber meets the road this week when they play the Bears. See, I started to sound like Gene Okerlund right there.
There you go. He is Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. I'm with your Flex. Joins us every Thursday. Mike, appreciate the time. Next week, in addition to talking about the NFL and everything relating to it, we're going to get your thoughts on the bigger L.A. basketball story, Bronny and Bron, or the wall with the Clippers. How's that sound?
Tear down the wall. Hey, everybody was really just mad because it was $70 to park. I said, get over it!
Mike Harmon, have a great weekend.
Thanks, Mike.
See you guys. Have a good weekend.
There's Mike Harmon. The wall in L.A. even domed up old Kevin Durant last night as Phoenix did win in overtime. It's Vinny at 80. Got a fun house trip. Nolan McGraw inside access at 2. And then Thursday night football, Vikings at the Rams. Thursday night football, we all picked the Rams, getting 3 at home. Against the Vikings. World Series starts tomorrow, so we'll preview that. And we got to Daniel Oyefusi, Baltimore native. I believe that we were either the first show or one of the first shows to ever get him on, because nobody knew who he was. I'm one of the few people that actually still reads the Baltimore Sun. He was covering the Terps.
Yeah,
we had him on before COVID hit, and then he became a rock star. Another person catapulted to stardom.
Well-traveled, too.
Yeah.
Went to Miami. Now I feel bad for him. He left that good weather in Miami, went back to Cleveland.
Yeah. And then he's from Baltimore on top of everything. So who knows? Maybe he'll come home again, but he'll be on here tomorrow to talk about the Ravens and Cleveland Browns. And what else? Keith Kavanaugh, talk about Maryland, Minnesota, and everything else happening in the world of sports. Am I missing something? Oh, Jody Schaefer.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the Ravens there. So, yeah, we're ready to rock and roll. Are you ready to rock and roll through that fun house of yours?
Always.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Fun House. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says Derrick Henry gets the early reps and the fourth quarter closer reps. Justice Hill is used on passing downs. With that in mind, what would a hypothetical Keaton Mitchell workload look like?
That will be interesting to see, because you kind of want to keep Justice doing what Justice is doing, and you want to keep Henry doing what Henry's doing. But when you got an explosive, maybe you put him in a slot and do, you know, you give him some jet sweeps and, you know, you give him some quick screens, you know, and they're good on screens. Maybe you give him a screen or two, but, you know, you get a package for him.
Ed in Westminster says this is a Cleveland defense that just held Cincinnati to 21 points. How will the Ravens attack that tough group if they are able to contain the Baltimore offense to, say, a similar point total around 20-21? Can the Ravens still win?
Yeah, because their offense averages 15. But I don't think they'll hold them that low. I think they'll play hard. But can you – the big thing is they're so explosive and so good on both sides, you know, on run and pass. Can you hold them down for four quarters? Because they can explode in the fourth quarter and get three touchdowns. That's the thing about them. You know, they are undersized blitzing team, and does that wear down as we go?
Well, this texter here, not worried at all, says, consider me a believer in the trap game concept, but I don't see that being the case this Sunday for the Ravens. Lamar and Henry, plus Monken's play calling, have been too good as of late for them to lose.
I don't disagree. For some reason, like, my gut just tells me that their defense is going to play hard and they'll cause the Ravens some issues. I hope it's not the case, but that's kind of what my gut's been telling me. And my gut's been, the last few weeks, been kind of right.
Closing thought here from Howard in Baltimore says, I hope that John Harbaugh has put in some type of complaint on the officiating as of late. They're totally missing calls on Lamar. The last hit in the Tampa Bay game, leading with the helmet, they didn't call it. Is there a double standard because he's a dual threat QB? A two-time MVP should be respected as such. Meanwhile, Tom Brady could have a finger rub across his helmet. He always got the calls.
Well, they called roughing the passer with Lamar, you know. But when the one he got hit in the helmet, he was basically a running back, you know. But I still think that guy will get fined. It was their lot, Britt. I can't remember. But I haven't seen any fines that have come out yet. But I'd be shocked if he didn't get fined.
I think at this point in his career, he's getting protected pretty well. I think he gets calls, especially running down the sideline. We mentioned that earlier this week, Mahomes, his long run against the 49ers. I think Lamar tends to get those
calls.
He
didn't get it, not this game, but the game before. Remember when it went out of bounds?
Right, but for the most part,
fans,
I think,
yeah.
Drilled.
Hey, Mahomes took a karate chop to the throat last week against San Francisco, and I don't think a flag was thrown. He just improvised, adapted, and overcame. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We're done. Inside Access coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow at 10. Thursday Night Football coming up later on in the evening here on this radio station. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.